This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Even on a Friday, it is all good for everybody out there. Enjoy your weekend. It is 9:04. It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, built for Tubbs Studio. Just a couple quick calls on this, and then we'll move on. Just because a couple people did call in about it. Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? So, Jerry, I agree with you with the whole NIL, because there was a kid yesterday from Xavier. He played 6 years on the same team. And so, basically, I know they got rid of the whole you lose an eligibility if you transfer. Because back in the day, if you transfer from one school to another school, you lose that eligibility. And one thing I also want to admit, I hate, is the fact that if you're a college player, let's say you're a second-round draft pick going for the NBA, you could go back to school and say, you know what, I'll take the $2 million because I can make that going back to school instead of staying in the NBA draft. While in the NFL, once you hire that agent, you can't go back to school, and if you're a third or fourth round pick, you know, you're going to get an NFL contract, but you're not going to make as much like you could have made in college. So those are the rules I don't like, because it's like in the NBA draft, you can be like, hey, I could stay here for $2 million and work my path to maybe get a first round draft pick. And then in the NFL, it's like, no, I got to stay if I hire an agent.
I don't know how accurate that is. The fact of the matter is that they all have agents now coming out of high school.
They have agents in high school.
Yeah, I know that. And the reason that you have some six-year players also, you got to remember that some of these kids are still tied to COVID and all the COVID rules.
That's running out. Yes.
That's running out.
I think that is finally over now.
But where we're going to see some more of that is when you see these kids coming out of the junior college.
Yes.
And that's when they're going to be transferring. And if I'm like Rick Pitino, why am I drafting a high school athlete when I can get one from a JUCO, which is going to be a 20-year-old, or I can get a kid that's disgruntled somewhere else? And the other weird thing about all of this is, just like in college football, when the transfer portal opens, it was right in the middle of the college football playoff.
And what's happening?
College basketball transfer portal opens right in the middle of the NCAA championship run. I think the Sweet 16 is when it opens.
Did you see Danny Hurley on 60 Minutes on Sunday?
I did not.
So they are back-to-back national champions.
Yes.
And Danny Hurley said he knows 50% of his team is probably going into the portal. I mean, and part of it is kids don't like their playing time, so they go somewhere else.
Or the kid doesn't like playing for the coach, which he has intimated, by the way. Which he has intimated this year. Maybe these kids don't like the way I coach.
And that,
maybe they're too soft.
Maybe the case. But I think it's different if you just aren't seeing eye to eye with your coach, as opposed to I can get more. It's like, would you like it as a Ranger fan if every single year you turned over your roster 75%?
I don't like it as a Maryland fan.
Right. So,
and you know what else I don't like as a Maryland fan? Maryland playing Ohio State. Ohio State's got all this money behind it, and they openly recruiting a Maryland player after the game on the field.
Yeah, and that's
You should go into the transfer portal,
college,
because we would love to have you on our team. And you know, so they poach within their own
conference. It doesn't matter. These guys are calling everybody when they're not supposed to be.
I need to sit down with Tony Petitti.
You should. That would be kind
of
cool, actually.
Because the other thing, too, is the Big Ten. I need to sit down and talk to him. Let's get these things straight.
The rules change every week.
Yeah, I don't think Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, really has much to stand on. He needs to get Congress involved.
They need to do something stinks.
This is where you have to get Congress involved, because if you don't, then it's going to be the wild, wild west, and every state's going to do what every state wants to do, like what Alabama and Georgia are potentially doing with their state income tax in regards to the nil payments.
College athletics are more of the wild, wild west now than they have ever been. Here's Ryle, one more. Ryle in East Islip, and then we'll go back to the football. What's up, Riley?
Hey, what's going on? The NIL is the worst thing to happen to college sports. It took all loyalty away from the school. They're not playing for the school. They're playing for themselves and a paycheck.
Yeah, so, I know. I want to be clear, though, too. I do believe what it was intended to be was good. Name, image, likeness. There's no reason that if when you were at Maryland, someone bought a Boomer Esiason's number 7 jersey.
Right, I could have done a car dealership. Yes. I could have done anything 100%. Because of what I was doing on the
field. Signed cards, autographs, T-shirt, all good.
And I really feel like the school gave me, something that you can't pay for, and that's memories. And memories were because I spent 5 years there, and I was with all my buddies, and it took a lot to get to where I was, and I appreciated the struggle. Part of that was, the enjoyment of it all when you look back on it.
Could you imagine playing in 5 different schools in 5 years?
I couldn't, but I can't say that I wouldn't have. I know I was angry my second year when they redshirted me.
Sure.
I was like, you're redshirting me? What? Because you take it as an athlete, you're not good enough, and you take it personally.
Well, did you see, I'm going to ask you this question. Did you see Steve Young, I can't remember who the interviewer was. Doesn't matter, but I'll get it from Al. He'll remember. It was on YouTube. Steve Young did this 2-hour sit-down. Steve Young tells the story that when he went to BYU,
yes,
he was 8th on the depth chart, 8th. And North Carolina wanted him as the starting quarterback, but he didn't realize where he'd be on the depth chart when he went to BYU. So he finds out where he's at, and I guess he goes through a year or so, or maybe part of the first year. Al, are you on the phone? Who was the guy who interviewed Steve Young that we watched?
Graham Bensinger.
Okay, that's who it was. Really a very good conversation. He says he called home to tell his dad that, I'm 8th on the depth chart. North Carolina wants me. They want me to be their starter. His dad basically told him, if you quit BYU, go do what you want to do, but you ain't coming home because I don't take quitters in this house.
Yeah.
You realize how far we are from that mentality?
Jerry, I was 10th on the depth chart when I got to Maryland. And I got redshirted my second year, and I was ready to leave. And my dad said, nope. You ain't going anywhere.
And you might not have turned out to be the quarterback you were.
So good for Steve Young's dad and good for my dad for holding us accountable and not letting us, wuss out.
But that's not what it is
anymore. Go fight for something. Go believe in yourself for something and stop, blaming everybody else for whatever issue you may have.
All true. Scott in Marlboro. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, Jared? Hey. How are you, bud?
Scotty, what's happening?
Hey, what's up? All right. It's the Wild West, my man. It's the Wild West. My son is a junior. Jerry knows who my son is. He's a good athlete. He's looking at a couple Division I programs. And basically, they tell you, we're not even going to look at you until summer of your senior year because of the transfer portal.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. It's not the way it used to be where you'd be recruited as a junior.
By the way, what sport does your son play?
He plays soccer, which is even worse, Boom, because they take international before they take Americans.
I could see that. Yeah.
It is almost impossible again, he was player of the year this year. And it's one of those things where they don't care. We're going to take a 24-year-old from international, whether it's Venezuela, Colombia, so on and so forth. We're going to put him on the roster because he's a little bit more mature in his body. And we'll see you probably your sophomore year.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Your son was player of the year. You say junior in high school or college?
In high school.
So he's in high school now, so that's a different story. If he were a junior in college, then I think he would have the leverage then to decide where he was going.
Mike's point, though, is it used to be if you were that good in high school, you got recruited. But now because of these rules and how your eligibility, they're taking older people.
How many times have we heard, I know that, I'm sure that Chris Snee's son, who's an eighth grader, I would think is already receiving scholarship offers.
I would think so too. Yeah.
But that is like the rare one. That's the rare kid.
Yeah, I mean it's just different.
He's 13 years old for God's sake.
I know,
sake.
But his dad played in the NFL. Like I do
and
understand.
He looks
that
like
looks like
a man. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. One more, Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, I just had a quick point. I want to get Boomer's take on it, if possible. How come the college golfers can take NIL money, but they can't take prize money if they win the Masters or place in the Masters or U.S. Open?
Yeah, as an amateur, yes, right. I know.
But
which is so screwy, and that should go by the wayside as well. I mean, it really should.
I agree, especially if they're being paid already and they can take payment for other things, then you're already a professional.
Whole thing is idiotic, and it's completely... it's going in different directions, and every state, every sport, every group is there's no uniformity. That's
nothing.
The problem. And I think the commissioners of these conferences are trying to drive uniformity, but you're dealing with all these different schools.
I'll give you one quick one.
Do you think like Ohio State wants somebody or some bureaucrat or some commissioner like Tony Petitti, who's a great guy? Do you think they want to listen to him?
No.
I'm not trying to say disrespect. They should listen to him because I think he's extremely bright. He knows the sports landscape. He knows what it's all about. But they want to run their program the way they want to run it, and they're going to spend $20 million on their players to win a national championship.
As they have.
Yes.
As they have. I'll give you one quick one.
Just can't beat Michigan.
Because this is the one thing that I could not believe it when I read it, and this is where I'm saying just – the college sports are just haywire. So Ben Johnson got fired by Minnesota this week. Well, yeah, literally, they lose the game the other night. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whatever.
Coach.
Yeah. They lose Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday, whatever day I was in Indianapolis. They lose at like 6 o'clock. They lost the game. They get on the charter. They go back. He gets fired when he gets off the plane. 4 years. They've been okay, but they have not been good. Reading the article about this, it said that they had zero NIL money or money from a collective, which is what I don't even know what these things even mean. But the only money he had to pay players was money that he himself and his staff raised.
Could raise through their collective.
And it was only, I say only, but it was only $2 million compared to a lot of schools that are shelling out $7, $8, $9 million for their
teams.
Yeah,
I know. I have friends that are part of a University of Maryland collective, and I don't know what's going on there or what's happening there. And they do. They are passionate about the school. They're passionate about the program, and I appreciate that. And I love the fact that they love it so much. You know, I used to give money to the school, but I will not do it anymore. You know, I a couple of years ago, I gave money for a scholarship for a team manager.
That's very nice of you.
In the name of the manager that I had when I was there, because mm-hmm. he was a great guy, and he really took great care of us. I don't mind. I didn't mind doing that. But when they start asking for money about, you know, for these athletes, I'm like, I'm sorry. There's not a chance in hell that I am writing a check for that. As much as I love the school and I'll support the school, I can't wrap my head around giving an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old $1.5 million to come play basketball at the University of Maryland in a beautiful facility, in a beautiful building, on a beautiful campus, and with 30,000 people, you know, or 20,000 people coming to a game.
And by the way, that money will not ensure that he stays more than a year.
That's the thing. There's no loyalty.
But then again,
it also could be wasted money if you give it to the wrong guy.
100%. And I understand the notion where a lot of people will say, well, you know, the coaches always win and leave. That's true. I'm not going to argue with that. But this has become, we've gone so far the other way, it is beyond absurd.
But that's why Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, needs Congress to get involved.
I understand.
To have
something has to happen.
Some sort of federal requirements or something to at least put some sort of lid or rule into this. But then I think you're going to have the players joining a union so they could have actually voting rights to make sure that their rights are being protected.
So again, call them what they are. They're now professionals.
Yeah, well, it's like the CBA for the NFL, the CBA for the NBA, the CBA for the MLB players,
fine,
the CBA
for
the NHL players.
Then they should have to sign contracts then. You want to come to a school and dance around and move around, then you're going to sign a contract so you know how long you're going to be there.
And I do think that these guys do sign contracts. They do sign contracts to get the initial money up front, and then if they reach certain parameters or do certain things that they're supposed to do, like start a certain amount of games or win a certain amount of games, then they'll get more money.
Unless it's the Arizona Cardinals, and then they hold you back at the end. All right, quick break.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll get CeeLo in here one more time.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Linkin Park coming to Prudential Center in August, or Philly in August as well, I think. Going to do one. You want to go, Al?
No.
I'm out for that.
Thursday night, though. The next day's Friday. Not a chance, I'm sure. Anyhow, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and How about Cyndi Lauper? You want to go see her with me at Jones Beach this year?
Not Jones Beach, but I would go see Cyndi Lauper before in Linkin Park.
You would?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. We could go to, remember I told you back in the day that Kim and I went to see Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Mann Music Center in Pennsylvania? Cyndi Lauper's playing there July 19th and Saturday night. I'll drive.
I wonder who's opening up for
my type.
No, Mr.
I was going to say Joan Osborne.
Mr.
Wow. By the way, the Mann Center?
It was the Mann Music Center. I think it's now called TD Pavilion at the Mann, I believe. Okay. It's near Philly.
Yep.
And we sat. I thought I was doing a solid. We were probably like 20 years old at the time. I got front row seats to see Lynyrd Skynyrd. Didn't realize I was right by the speakers.
How loud
I was. Deaf when yeah. I walked out of there. It was amazing, but it was a little much. It was like loud.
When we saw Van Halen up at Mohegan Sun. I came out of there. I couldn't hear for a week.
I believe. And that's
what that had to be the loudest band I had ever heard.
That had to have been cool, though, for Al. Like, you worked with David Lee Roth, and there you are watching him on stage.
Well, he was scared.
Because he thought
David was going to come off stage and attack him.
We had close seats.
We did.
And that dude is ripped.
I was like, there's Al!
David Lee Roth is ripped?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
He had all abs during that tour, for sure.
Did you ever make eye contact with him?
I thought I did, but I don't think the artists ever really see the faces of the people.
I was trying to point you out.
Of course you were.
Big sign.
I was looking for a little bit of, fist to cuff.
You were instigating.
He was nervous.
Of course.
But how did you feel? I don't remember how you felt watching them. And
I loved
it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He just didn't like working with them.
He does a good job of separating the artist from the guy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I also feel like looking back on it, the David, I think, was put in a weird spot.
Right. But you had to call security, and then you have to like get a file restraining order or something.
Not sure of all the particulars, but
yeah, you are.
I feel like that David Lee Roth was told, you're in charge. Your show, you do what you want to do.
Oh, like if they told me I was in charge.
Yeah, and then they went to turn off and they said, you're in charge. Oof. Don't let this go.
And then Al had to be the spy.
You were the snitch.
And it put me in a bad spot. Yeah, it was a weird.
Could you imagine if Boomer found out there was a spy here?
Oh, there has definitely been one here
for a long time. Flip out.
Al's been spying on me for 18 years.
No,
he
like
he goes back and tells whether Hans Spike had a real. Now Boomer said this. Boomer just.
I don't know if you heard.
7:22 this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a bad situation. Anyway, what's up, Chris?
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. A couple more from the latest episode of The Roommate Show. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, plus special guest, MSG, Knicks Rangers owner Jim Dolan, asked here about the hiring of former player agent Leon Rose, of course, his team president.
Was there any part of you a little nervous because he was never in that role before?
Well, I used to work in sales. And one of my favorite things we used to say in sales is you can't fall off the floor. Right.
Pretty good.
At that point, we were on the floor.
That's a fair way to put it.
That's Brunson,
and they tried everything. Tried Phil Jackson. They had Isaiah Thomas for 30 years.
I've always said that he would spend any amount of money to win a championship. But that's the one thing that he wants.
Yeah, that's what he's doing right now.
He gets a really bad rap in the whole thing with Charles Oakley and the Knicks disaster and the acquiring of Carmelo when they did. They didn't have to do it at that moment. They could have waited until he was a free agent.
Mm.
There were so many just mismanaged and wrong people in the wrong spot.
Speaking of acquiring players,
this is funny.
Brunson asked them if there was ever a trade or signing that didn't get to the finish line, but if he wished that it did.
Yeah, a long time ago. I got to even remember. He ended up playing for the Nets. Great score.
That's great score.
It wasn't
sounds
Grant
like
Hill.
Me sometimes.
The was a guy out of Toronto.
Vince Carter.
We forget things sometimes on the spot. You could remember Pat Shermer this morning.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
Think about all the times you played his clips.
That was funny.
I mean, it happens.
Come on,
happens.
That was funny.
It was
though.
Funny, but it happened. So we're not going to beat him up about that. Got the name sorted out, he explained that they were going to trade for him, but then the medical team said Carter had an Achilles tendon that was 90% torn and that it would never hold up.
Once it ruptured, right, he'd never be the same player. And for that reason,
didn't happen.
We didn't do the trade, right?
Wow.
And then Vince Carter went on to have 5, 6, 7 years of his. I kept wicked, never broke.
Nope.
No.
Pretty wild. Kind of a cool
thing.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
I wonder what they were willing to trade to get Vince Carter.
That I did not hear. That wasn't part of the clip that I saw. You also had. Tom Thibodeau called Brunson while they were taping this episode, so he had Dolan answer for him.
Jalen Brunson's line. No, this is Jalen Brunson's line. This is a personal assistant, Jim Dolan, taking his call for him. Is there something I can tell him for you, Coach?
How you doing?
I'm fine. We're in the middle of a podcast, and now since you called. I'm going to hang up, and we're going to talk about you.
I would love to have that. Okay.
I can't wait to tell them what your favorite song is. Call them back later, okay?
And then they asked, well, what's his favorite song? And he says, you ever heard of the song, I'm Only Happy When It Rains? Which is kind of fitting for tips.
Very fitting.
Yeah.
By the way, what this indicates to me is that there is great joy within the Knick organization
100%.
Right now. If they could win a championship with this group under these current circumstances and listening to this podcast, that would be amazing.
Here's the one thing I know. I have a couple of friends that work over there.
Yeah.
They swear that the players love playing for this guy. I know fans hate him.
I know fans can't stand him, but
from what I'm told, the players love the guy.
The fan thing is a whole different story, but the players love playing. The Ranger players love playing for the Rangers.
Chris Drury, they get treated like gold,
man.
Yeah, no, right, exactly.
It is first when class you're there, all the way.
Yes, exactly.
This one didn't include Dolan, but cracked me up.
Go play for the Bengals and the Cardinals and find out what the hell that's like.
Then talk to me.
I guess I haven't watched the Knicks closely enough to have heard this season, but they run a montage here of Karl-Anthony Towns going to the basket with the audio amplified to expose how he tries to draw fouls from the officials.
Gotta be at a next level.
Down single coverage goes right at Smith.
Oh my God! Skills in the fit with Jalen Brunson, but you're playing at home.
I say that we're surprised about what's going on right now.
Oh my God!
All right, so a lot of oh my God.
So now we know why we think or there is a reputation of being soft for Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, I suppose. Why.
That's pretty
funny. Oh, my God.
That had me wondering, who does it better, Cat on the floor or our guy Pete Hoffman? When he had his Fight Fan MMA podcast back in the day, here he was reacting live to, this was Dustin Poirier knocking out Conor McGregor.
Oh, my God, Dustin Poirier! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Holy! Oh, my God! I love that. Oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, boy.
Is that a porno?
What is that?
I told you what it was.
Man. I did not realize. Speaking
that was
of, oh, my
that
God.
Was live reaction to that.
Oh, my God.
How big Pete Hoffman's tongue is.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize the mic, oh, my God, was from an NCAA conference tournament.
It was
Big East shot.
UConn, I think.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. And that was live on the. I never knew where that came from.
Yeah, he was doing his usual. I can't do play.
Oh, my God. Right.
Yeah. See, that's a play-by-play.
But he was doing play-by-play.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
The anniversary, obviously. Just
was it 10 years ago?
Something. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, this week, whatever year it was.
It was Funhouse. So, I forget who posted it, but
I'm sure it was Funhouse.
I was locked in on it.
Yeah.
Doesn't Al have an oh my God somewhere?
I don't know. Eddie's the guy to ask. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought he had one too.
Mm. Al with the oh my God.
Oh my God.
The mic oh my God was 9 years ago.
There you go.
Nine years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's oh my gosh.
Oh my God!
Evan.
That's Evan.
I'm pretty sure, right, Eddie?
Oh my God!
That sounds like Sal.
That's what I thought. I thought Sal for sure.
No, that's Evan.
Huh.
That is, okay. It does sound like Sal, though. I do agree.
Well, we do have the Big East tournament going on, and, you know, maybe there'll be something that we can replicate.
Oh, my
though.
God.
And we'll get that tonight at the Garden.
By the way, when you play, when that nice woman called in that couldn't stand Sal yesterday,
yes. Oh, yeah.
And you played the Sal the show. Screaming it. That was very funny.
She said he was obnoxious and horrible.
Yes, I know. Well, Al, listen, Sal gets you a reaction no matter what he does,
sure
good or
does.
Bad.
Yeah.
She at first wasn't going to come on the air, and Eddie kept nudging me. He goes, talk her into it. And I told her.
I'm so glad she came on. That was
we convinced
great.
Her. We said, management needs to hear this.
They have to hear it from you, not us. You have to hear it live
on
the air.
You guys sandbag Sal.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. 100%. We reeled her in.
Oh, as soon as Al reeled her in, he goes, go to her quick.
Of course he did. Right. Don't want her to drop off.
Right, exactly.
That's funny. So the Johnnies kicked it off yesterday at noon, and they did end up winning the game against Butler, you know, pretty easily. I guess because it was the first game of the day. I mean, the thought was, hey, it's the Johnnies. It's their home arena. Maybe there'd be a bigger crowd. And I guess Rick Pitino was saying tickets were difficult to come by. So BT put out on Twitter X, Rick wasn't wrong. Too much blue today. Very surprised. Tomorrow night needs to be different. The atmosphere was
interesting.
Eh.
Yeah, well, tonight, I mean, it was Friday night, 6:30.
Yeah.
And everybody coming from Wall Street. You got the Irish coming in, the Italians coming in. Everybody's coming in to watch Johnny basketball all over again.
It is go time!
Yeah!
I do think, though, I could be wrong about this. My guess is they probably have a ticket list of people that just buy the, whether they're St. John's fans or not, that go every year. And I think the schools get an allotment,
I'm sure.
too. So it's not like it's a St. John's home.
Well, tonight it's going to be more, but tonight it's going to be more of that. Because all these teams are falling off now.
So. I did appreciate Brandon admitting that they have played some wretched teams in the Big East. And he's right. I mean, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But you've got 10 games there against just brutal teams.
Yeah, well, that'll happen in some of these leagues now that they've got a lot more teams in them. So anyway, Pitino, while they won, I played you earlier. We got better defense. He was a little annoyed during the game. More playful afterwards, though, talking about Sadiku Ibean Ayo's commitment to fasting for Ramadan.
Well, Sadiku said he's getting a lot of fluids, IV fluids, before the game. While it's dark, he's getting IV fluids before the game, which helps the Ramadan. I asked the trainers and him, can we get something in the IV to help his defense? They said they're going to work on that.
He was big on the defense yesterday at the half. They came back from break on Peacock of him in the huddle, threatening some guy, I'll pull your ass out of this game.
If they're
going to
win a national championship, they're going to win it with defense. Yeah. It's not going to be their three-point shooting, even though it's been better of late. They're going to win because they're going to hold teams to 60 points.
There you go. Well, we'll see how they do against Marquette tonight, 6:30. And then you got UConn and Creighton in the nightcap. The Rangers beat Minnesota in overtime last night, 3-2, on a Braden Schneider game winner. Nice little toe-drag backhand move from the defenseman. He had that in his bag of tricks.
No, we've seen that.
I don't know if
he's
never scored an overtime winner before.
I know that, but we have seen him have the ability to do things like this. He's always just more a little bit defensive-minded than he is offensive-minded.
So they started their celebration, and then it kind of dulled a little bit because there was some initial concern the goal might be waved off for goalie interference on the part of JT Miller here with Schneider.
I was a little bit, but then I seen the replay a little bit, and I didn't think it was anything, so... Thankful it didn't come back.
And you can never tell with Miller because he's just kind of very
intense.
You can
never tell with these referees and the Rangers.
Well, that, yeah.
Jesus
I mean,
God.
Matt Rempe, the penalty that they called, which was interference, which led
now,
to a power
two
play
in
goal.
A row. Just absolutely outrageous.
Credit to our guy Don LaGreca, who put on Twitter X, if Rempe skated past a pregnant woman, the ref would call him the father.
Yeah, there you go.
That's funny.
Not wrong. Final seconds at the Rock as the banged up Devils were protecting a 3-2 lead over Connor McDavid and the visiting Edmonton Oilers.
12 to go. Bouchard with a wrist shot blocked by Heischer. Puck comes to Nurse. Fires it to Dreisaitl. Fans on the try. Here's Meyer protecting the puck against the wall. Time's going to wind down. And the Devils have defeated Edmonton by a score of 3-2.
Good job by them. Jesper Bratton, Shimon Nemitz with third period goals as they had fallen behind by one, but they get the last two and they get the victory. They've won three in a row despite losing Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, and Jonas Siegenthaler for the season. They're now 8 points clear of the Rangers and the Blue Jackets for third place in the Metropolitan Division.
What percentage of shots do you think NHL goalies actually see as opposed to just playing the angle of a shot?
That's a good question.
Because even like that goal they show there, which I obviously, I was on a plane last night. I didn't see that, but I see the replay.
A lot of traffic.
The goalie has no idea that the puck's coming
and
to the right of his
deflected.
Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a perfect shot.
It was
a perfect shot.
But like you really, you see replays. 30, 40? It's like they don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question. I'm assuming they probably see about 30 or 40.
30 or 40 they don't see, I'm saying.
What percentage of shots did...
Percentage they do see.
Gio and Craig see when they play goalie at the middle.
Oh, my God.
It's like they couldn't even skate. They do see. I would say 50 to 60 they do see. I don't know.
Percentage-wise.
Yeah. Anyway. Rangers Jackets and a big one, Blue Jackets, that is coming up from Columbus tomorrow night. And you'll have the Knicks and the Warriors tomorrow night out in San Francisco as the Knick road trip comes to an end. Before we get to moment of the day, a couple of golf clips I've been wanting to get to. You know, last week, Arnold Palmer, Russell Henley was kind of boring.
It was boring.
Right? You know, PGA Tour needs a little juice right now. No Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Achilles was ruptured. So here was Colin Morikawa.
That's also why I think this full swing documentary helps them.
Okay.
But it's still some of these tournaments just like...
Well, I think they're trying to think of ways to spice things up a little bit. Here was Colin Morikawa the other day ahead of the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass.
I think after talking to some guys, I think you just have to start stroking guys.
Wyndham Clark?
Yeah.
Wyndham Clark's not so sure about that.
My frustration was that if I did get stroked, how is that my fault?
Look, if you're going to start stroking guys, at least give me a little heads up.
And if the volunteers don't tell me, and I get stroked for something that I didn't know happened, it kind of seems unfair.
I would agree.
Right, and so, you know, obviously what they're really talking about is penalizing for slow play. Yes.
Yeah.
But by the way, you know, like this golf tournament now playing the players down there at TPC Sawgrass is awesome.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's a golf course that we all know, and they play it every year, and this golf course has been restored. And actually, Davis Love, I think, did a great job at this golf course.
We saw some wild stuff yesterday.
Yes.
Got putting balls in the Spieth. It was a classic Spieth round.
My brother,
he's making eagles, double bogeys, all over the place.
And chipping in.
Yeah.
My brother will back me on this. I went there with him and my father maybe 15 years ago or so. And on 17, I would swear to you I got a hole in one. Like, off the club. Ball disappeared. I thought it was one bounce into the cup. I was unbelievable. We get up there. There's no ball there.
We found it.
So you know when you've played there, right?
Yes,
so you know when you have to kind of walk over that little bridge area, if you will?
Yes.
Yeah. It flew right over the pin, went up the path. I couldn't even hit it. I went from thinking I got a hole-in-one to a six on the card.
Had a couple hole-in-ones the other day. Amazing. The caddy, one of the players in the practice round.
Well, how about the player that put the ball in the water, then his penalty shot? From three, he puts it in.
Yeah. The stroke.
Oh. The what?
The stroke.
There you go.
Stroke, man.
Okay. I was just going to say that that's a 148-yard shot. You would think that would be the easiest shot in the world.
It's very intimidating.
And it's not. It's intimidating.
Yeah.
I mean, sit back getting stroked. Yeah.
You wanted to provide context, but there you are having fun. Okay.
Stroking him?
Apparently, remember I brought up the video?
Open the door for Eddie. Just
oh, it's fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Stroking a moose.
Oh. I've been waiting 2 days to play these clips. Finally get to it Friday at 9:40. By the way, I brought up that thing about Rory walking up to that guy and taking his phone. And
yes.
So that turned out to be a University of Texas golfer who they kicked off the premises, and he issued a public apology to Rory, like, because he was heckling him.
Oh, he was acting like a jackass.
Well, it was just interesting.
It wasn't collegiate athlete golfer was heckling Rorau.
And where does it say here? This guy, I think he just won a collegiate event recently.
Mm.
And he just, I guess he had a moment. He got a little fired up and he felt bad about it. So
I'll tell you, whether
very
it's
strange.
These fans, and I know you've talked about this before. We had behind us, so we were in the second row courtside the other night. The fans were literally 3 feet from us. There was a guy behind me that was, the stuff he was saying was beyond repulsive.
College basketball fans are the worst.
God, was it bad.
They are.
Yeah. A day before the incident, this guy's last name is Potter, had earned his first NCAA individual victory beating the field at another Sawgrass Country Club nearby.
Okay.
And then went over to Chevy's heckling Rory about the 2011 Masters. He stole his phone and got kicked
That's
out of the
amazing.
Golf course.
All right.
So there you go. All right. Moment of the day. We're talking quarterbacks early this morning and just how complicated playing the position can be, especially when communication breaks down between coach and QB, which led to Boomer recalling a fun Richie Kotite story. Week 3 of the 1995 season with the Jets hosting Tom Coughlin and the expansion Jacksonville Jaguars.
We start the first series and this thing's happening with the quarterback, the communication device. My God, damn it. I couldn't take it anymore. And finally, I called plays, and I believe we went down the field, and we scored a touchdown, which was like a remarkable. It was a remarkable accomplishment, and we were all so happy. And I came over to the sideline. Richie wasn't happy with me.
Because you weren't running the plays he was trying to give you. Because
I wasn't running the plays that he was calling. And he was right. I mean, he's, you know, you got to respect the head coach. There's no question about it. But I just got so frustrated. I just called the plays. And I remember just standing there with him and knowing that I was not going to be his quarterback of the future. We just didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I looked at him, and he's kind of yelling at me on the sideline after scoring a touchdown. And I was standing there knowing that the cameras are on us. And I was smiling. Going, okay, that's great. That's really good. Keep your finger on the goddamn button. And if you don't keep your finger on the button, I can't call the plays. Okay, is that okay?
And you're still smiling through it.
Because if I'm not smiling, then niggas go, oh, there's tension between the head coach and the quarterback.
You do that very well years later.
Yes, I know.
Ah, the goddamn Jets.
Oh, Jesus.
Very good.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, we got a few more minutes. We'll get you to BT and Sal on the radio side coming up in just a little while. A lot more conference basketball stuff going on today.
Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff today. You know, I got St. John's and Maryland playing at the same time, so I'll be flipping back and forth watching those games. But, you know, the interesting thing is last week we were talking about Josh Allen's contract extension with the Buffalo Bills, how much money he got, and rightfully so. Good for him. He deserves it. He plays his ass off every freaking week. He easily could be the MVP over the last 3 or 4 years, just like Lamar Jackson has been the MVP over the last 3 or 4 years. He signs a deal with this entity called Skydance Media, or Skydance Sports, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, we saw this last week, yeah.
Right, and I don't know exactly what he's going to be delivering for them, but the thing that Skydance has done, you know, they were the ones, I believe, that produced Hard Knocks preseason with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They also did the Enigma
documentary
on Aaron Rodgers.
Which was done very well.
Right, and Skydance is founded by Larry Ellison, so I think it's been around, I want to say, since maybe 2020, I think. I'm not really sure, but it's interesting now how these players are taking what they are becoming off the field and actually selling that to do things like what Aaron Rodgers did with Enigma.
Yeah, why not?
Why not is right. Not? And everybody's looking for interesting and unique content. So I think they're going to obviously continue to do this. They are doing a 10-part series on Jerry Jones.
Are they really?
They are.
Oh, that would be intriguing. Oh, this is Skydance?
Skydance Sports.
Wow, no kidding.
So they are doing a 10-part series on Jerry Jones.
Which is, I imagine, which they're is filming
you'll
now?
You'll see on Netflix. Yeah. You'll find it on Netflix.
That would be fascinating because, A, he is a character, as we know, but, B, it's the Cowboys.
Exactly.
And I would think, as much as I thought the Aaron Rodgers documentary was phenomenal, I will tell you, I was left, and maybe this is the probably the best compliment you can give them, I was actually left looking for a little more. Like, it was three parts, and I think it easily could have been another, like a fourth episode.
Yes.
That said, a 10-parter on Jerry Jones, to me, even if you don't like the Cowboys, hate the Cowboys, I think you would find very interesting.
Right. So a joint production with NFL Films and Skydance Sports. This is also one of the studios that was behind Air by Michael Jordan.
Okay. You know,
about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Jerry Jones docuseries is scheduled to include 10 episodes exploring Jerry Jones and the Cowboys through never before seen footage and interviews. That is going to be amazing.
It should be fun. It just goes to show too that content is king right now. It's not so. The traditional way we view things is gone, and you've got to come up with different ways to present stuff.
Like, to me, Jim Dolan would be interesting.
I agree. And you know what would be interesting about that is it would give a look inside his day-to-day operations, the way he is around the building that people don't see.
Well, you don't see that, but he's also in a band. You don't see
that. Too.
He did the Sphere, which is amazing.
Yeah.
They may end up moving Madison Square Garden, as we talked about earlier. We're just thinking sports now, but I think there's so many other people that, you know, that obviously would fit that bill. But I think Jerry Jones is really one of the more interesting characters when you think about the way that it started with the Cowboys and what he did initially and how controversial it was to get rid of Tom Landry.
Remember the whole thing? Well, that started there. Remember the whole thing with Nike and Reebok, Coke and Pepsi? All
well,
that?
Yeah, he was the ultimate.
He did what he wanted to do.
He was the ultimate ambush marketer. So the NFL would sign a deal with Coca-Cola.
And he would
and
go to
guess
Pepsi.
What? The Cowboys would get a piece of that, just like the other 31 teams. And then all of a sudden, AT&T Stadium, well, not AT&T Stadium, it was called
Texas Stadium.
Texas Stadium, called Pepsi-Cola Stadium.
Well, he never did that, but he did have the Pepsi. It was always Texas Stadium.
Okay.
So all he's ever done has been Texas Stadium, but you had the Pepsi billboards up in that building.
Everywhere. And I remember doing Monday Night Football down there, and I think we were told that you really couldn't show the Pepsi-Cola signs because it was, like, controlled by the NFL.
It might be. That
but
might
he had
be.
Pepsi-Cola signs everywhere.
Everywhere. And I think he also did a deal with, I think it was Reebok when the league had Nike or vice versa.
Yes.
I don't remember. That was part
of it,
too. Either
it was Reebok was the league and Nike was him.
Was them. And then when they moved into the new building, if you remember, and I loved it for how 5 years, whatever it was, because to me, the one thing the Yankees have done, which I really do appreciate, they have not sold the name rights to the, it's just, it's Yankee Stadium. Well, when the Cowboys first moved in, it was Cowboy Stadium, and then he struck the deal with AT&T.
Of course.
But for 5 years, it was Cowboy Stadium, which was kind of cool.
Could you see any which way that the Yankees or any company, like I know I put the patch on the yeah. jerseys, and everybody has a patch on the jerseys mm-hmm. now. That's part of it. And everybody had to get over that. And I think most people got over it,
right.
especially when Columbia actually did the right colors mm-hmm. for the Mets uniform as opposed to having a red patch on your arm. But do you ever see, could you do something field at Yankee Stadium?
Yes. And that's fine too, the way they do it in Denver. Invesco Field at Mile High. That's fine too. If it was.
You think Yankee fans would be okay with that?
I think if it was called Coke Field at Yankee Stadium, I think it's fine. I do.